It is so good to have you here today. And, you know, Jesus is the answer for everything that goes down in our lives. And so many people want to relegate the followers of Christ to every other religion that's out there, but we are not a religion. We are the absolute salt of the earth through Christ. We are the absolute light of the world, Jesus, through us. Without the followers of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, this planet won't make it a day. Let's not forget, everyone's asking me about antichrists and end times, and especially those who are kind of fear. I just say the enemy's always tried to take over the world. Go back from the Babylonian Empire to the Egyptians to Hitler. Just take your pick. It's always been things that are trying to go wrong. We, the church, get up and pray. Speak God's word. Reach the lost. Pray over nations, the Bible says. Pray for your leaders. And so that's how we're going to open up our message today. So let's just pray together, declaring the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you right now that your word is more powerful than anyone else's word. There is no world leader whose words are more powerful than the King of Kings. So, Father, we declare that governments, Father, will bow to you now, that leaders who have evil in their heart around this nation, from nation to nation, we call them out, taken out. And Father, you bring in leaders after your own heart. We pray for, Father, every nation. We pray for America. We pray for leadership there on that country. We pray for Canada and our leaders. We declare that, Father, you are guiding us, that the Church of Jesus is waking up. And Father, we pray right now that the Church of Jesus across Canada, around this world, that you'll wake up the mighty men switch in every one of them. And that, Father, we're going to see such a massive change in the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest opportunity we've ever seen to touch the world, to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We declare that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Want to encourage you to go by our coffee shops. I have been very specifically working with our teams around resources to get the series that I have done on the areas of authority, faith, on the areas that you need to reinforce, learn, and grow. And as well as there are a bunch of other books that I have brought in around these topics. So a series to listen to is How to Activate Great Faith in Your Life. Then for those who are new to this, what is faith? The most powerful basics. So many people don't even know what faith is. And so we unpack it in a way that'll help you. And if you've always struggled there, get back to the basics. There's some great books. The Real Faith, What We Are in Christ, The Two Kinds of Faith, The Believer's Authority, an entire workbook we've put together, Walking by Faith. I want you to grow. My job as your pastor, the Bible says, is to equip you for the work of the ministry, that all of us might develop and grow into the maturity of Christ. So make sure that during the week you have resources, that you are studying, reading your Bible, and these resources are great men and women who are a part of the fivefold ministry that Jesus, you know, has placed in the church. You know, when you talk about pastors, leaders, as in the church, as far as prophets, evangelists, apostles, teachers, pastors, nobody can get learned enough to become one. It is a calling. Everybody has a calling on their life. Those fivefold ministry in the church, you can't make yourself one. You can't leave and go do one. It is a calling by Jesus. He chooses those. And so we walk with such respect and honor with all the other churches and denominations, and God bless them, use them, and here as well. Today I want to talk. I'm going to entitle this Prophet, King, Priest, Judge. Prophet, King, Priest, Judge. You know, whenever you read about somebody and you begin to look at autobiographies or biographies of some of the greatest men and women who have walked the planet, who God began to use in a miraculous way, they would always make this comment somewhere in their lifetime as they grew to know Jesus, as they learned and grew in the knowledge of his word, as they learned to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit with words of knowledge, the workings of miracles and gifts of miracles and working, and all nine. they'd always make this comment. There's something we've never seen yet. The world has yet to see what a person, knowing who they are in Christ, walking in the authority that is in this new covenant because of Christ, and then the power that goes with that authority. They would get on the edge and they would see remarkable miracles, but they would always say, I just feel like there's something greater that we've got to step into as a church. And so I want to prepare you and talk to you a little bit today about things, you know, as we travel the world and help people and work with denominations and churches, there's such a drawing back from the power and the authority that is in Jesus Christ. They refuse to talk about it from pulpits, many of them. They refuse to even embrace it because of the mockery that comes against anyone who says, well, I believe that faith, as soon as you start talking about faith or authority, it's like, oh, you're one of them. And so you may as well just take a large portion of the Bible, cut it out and turf it, and just keep the stuff that says, you know, just hack your way through life. One day in the sweet by and by, you can you can go to heaven and everything's going to be okay, which of course is not true. It's going to be amazing in heaven, but the Bible says that our prayer should be, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in the Old Testament, listen closely, this one message from the most learned person in the Word to the absolute baby Christian, this is going to help you immensely. It is a crucial piece of teaching if you are going to walk in miracles in your personal life. If you're going to walk in miracles in any arena of your life, you must take a look at how the Bible has been written. For example, in the Old Testament, before Jesus died and everybody could be born again, there were different offices that the presence of God would come upon and give them a certain amount of God's presence. For example, the king. In the Old Testament, they would anoint the king. The presence of God would come upon that man to fulfill that office. And then they would anoint prophets, Elijah, Elisha. And there would be an anointing that come upon them to prophesy and guide the people through and into the future, call them to righteousness. Then there was the priest, the high priest, who would be the one who would go into the temple, the Holy of Holies, to offer sacrifices so that they could be, you know, covered by the blood of bulls and goats. And then there were judges. These people would judge the affairs of Israel. And I'm going to just leave it at those four. There's special anointings like Samson, but he'd be a judge. So these four ministry types were in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the presence of God that was upon kings, they presence of God that was upon prophets, the presence of God that was upon the high priest, the presence of God that was upon judges, all come to every born again believer. So you, the Bible says, are priests and kings. You, the Bible says, are prophesying your future through the words that you are generally speaking. You, as a judge, are determining that whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loosed. You are judging your own life. Now, this is not for you, for others. These things are for your personal life. Now, within the Church of Jesus Christ, we have the fivefold ministry, or an all of us to a certain degree are, well, all of us are set in the church, whether it's ministry of helps, whether it's music, whether it's hospitality. But there are fivefold who are set in to work with the church, and there you can have a prophet in the church. You can have an apostle within the church. You can have an evangelist, a teacher, a pastor. But that's a whole different teaching, and it's beautiful. But for you as an individual over your life, you don't need an Old Testament prophet to guide you through your future. You do not need a king. to use the authority and the resources of a king to protect and help you. You are a king with the resources of heaven. You don't need someone else judging your life. The Bible says you need to judge your life with his word. You need to choose and let go, to bind, to loose, to decide these decision-making things. So there's a unique gifting upon you for miracles, signs, and wonders. All nine of the gifts of the Spirit are within you and are accessible by you as Holy Spirit guides your life. So a born-again believer today in the Church of Jesus Christ is a stunning, unique person who has an ability to make decisions over their life. Now, the Bible now says to you and I that not only do we have this ability to be prophets and priests and kings and judges in our own life and future and world, but you've been given a helper. Holy Spirit himself is your helper to guide you as you begin to function. So many Christians sit around and they don't realize you've made decisions. To not make a decision is a decision. You can't stall your truck on a railway track with a train coming, and you can't decide whether to sit there and try to start it or to get out and run. Well, not making a decision is a decision with consequences. And you and I need to recognize that. You can choose to not judge your own life as to how you will function, what you will do, what you won't do. To choose not to judge and decide what has consequences. To choose not to use this presence of God to be a king and to rule and reign over what your world is going to be like, that's a decision. To choose to not recognize that you, the words that you speak out of your mouth, have an effect on your future in the Old Testament. If you were a prophet, for example, the prophet Samuel, it says, not a word fell from his mouth. If he said it, it happened. And the mark of a false prophet was to say a bunch of stuff. And there's a ton of stories about false prophets. I don't know why. It's their ego. They wanted to speak to God, and their words would fall to the ground. But the Bible teaches us that your words now are going to be, by your own words, you're going to be justified. By your own words, you're going to be condemned. I want to walk you through something today that is going to, I hope, open up your eyes if you will listen with a desire to change, that will show you that you must understand prophet, priest, king, judge. These things have been handed to you because of Jesus and the cross, and you must function and understand and stop blaming God for things. Stop saying, well, it's the sovereignty of God. We know God is sovereign. That just means all-powerful. But when an all-powerful God gives his word on something, he keeps his word. So he's not going to change his word just so, and that you can blame him. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 11, it talks here about a word, confession. Now, everyone knows about the confession of sins, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, it says, if you shall confess with your mouth, this is speaking the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved. And this is not talking about salvation from hell. That's a part of it. The word saved, sozo, is talking about a complete salvation from that second death, from eternal death, from sickness, disease, from poverty, from, you know, all these things. It says that you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, and whatever you need to be saved from today, poverty, sickness, disease, bankruptcy, danger, etc., that it is the speaking and the believing that begins to help you function as a king, a priest, a prophet, a judge in your own life. If you are not rising up and pronouncing judgment, by that I mean my future will be blessed. The presence of God is my rear guard. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I declare the promises of God. You are judging your future and deciding it. You are prophesying your future. You as the person making that decision, as a king and a priest, have access to God for him to guide you. And so you've got to make this decision. Am I going to function in what God has given to me? Do we even recognize the stunning ability. Moses didn't even have this ability, yet stood before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the then known world. The world came and bowed its knee to Egypt as their wisdom, their wealth, their power, their etc. But one man, Moses, walked in there and all the power of God backed him. We need to begin to understand and not be this mealy-mouthed, wimpy little Christian who thinks that to be like Jesus is to look like a guy with long, beautiful hair and big, precious moments eyes, wearing flip-flops and a dress, walking around saying, bless you, or whatever picture religion has showed you about Jesus. Someone needs to paint a picture of what Jesus looks like as the risen Lord. He's not wearing a Galilean dress. He's not got a hairstyle to match, you know, 0040 AD. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, wearing his armor in Revelations 1 and 2, and everything bows to this name. And his authority and this power has been handed to the church and to those who will rise up, understand the limitations, understand who you are, what you are to do and not to do, because there's things you can't do. Your authority and your power can't be used on another person. Okay, you can't go and start cursing them. But if someone becomes a weapon against you, the word of God works. So this entire issue is crucial. So it says, if you shall confess with your mouth, you must be confessing the Lord Jesus and the authority that he has won for you. There must be a regular confession of this. Now the Bible says the mercies of the Lord are renewed every morning. Now, there's a whole message in there, but every day is a new day. And I'm not saying your confessions only work in a 24-hour period. I'm just saying that every day when you rise up, declare that God's mercy is upon me. Declare who you are in Christ so that you are practicing and you are speaking. You are taking authority as a king. You are prophesying as a prophet. You are choosing as a judge and as a high priest of your life. Jesus is our high priest, but we are priests and kings. That you are fellowshipping with him in the Holy of Holies, that secret place. There is such a beautiful picture here that hands to you and I this authority, this ability, this power, and you ignore it to your own peril. You go ahead and say, I disagree with you. You're more than welcome. Sometimes people will want to debate with me, and I'll just look and say, I don't care. You go ahead and believe what you want. And now if someone wants help, then come to church and we'll teach. But there's some people who just want to argue everything. And so, but we've got to understand that as you begin to learn the word of God, the apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you in speech that was so beautifully figured out as an apologist. He didn't do that. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for that in our world. He came in the demonstration of the power of God. And in your life, people will see the blessing. People will see the protection. People will see the joy. People will see the confidence. People will see the prosperity. People will see the health. People will see that in the midst of storms and things that blow, some houses are destroyed and some houses can't be shaken. Some lives are destroyed and some lives can't be shaken. And so you need to be the one that cannot be shaken, because your foundation is upon Christ and the finished work of the cross. It's amazing to me how few people actually speak the word. You know, don't come to me after church and say, that was a great reminder, Pastor. You know what? That it's almost like an arrogant thing to say, that you already knew that. We don't care what you know, we care what you do. Are you speaking and taking your authority over your life? Are you declaring and prophesying your future by confessing the promises of God? It's not about, Peter repeatedly said, I'm putting you in remembrance. Like, get up and do something with it. Faith without works is dead. So you knowing it means nothing to me. You can have way more knowledge than me in the word, and there's probably lots that are great for you. What I want to be is a practicing follower of Christ, understanding and growing as a king, a high priest, a judge, a prophet. I want to understand that upon my own life and my own world. And I challenge you to pick up this challenge. Begin to speak what God's word says. You know, Jesus prayed. I'll go through this fairly quickly, but in John chapter 17, Jesus is talking to God. And so many people have never seen this or they've missed this, but the way Jesus prays is interesting, because the Bible says that God calls things that be not as though they were. Many of the experts in Hebrew will tell you that God, a better rendition of God saying, let there be light, is light is. If he said it, it's got to happen. And so we have to understand that, you know, the words God calls the end from the beginning. Most people pray the problem, or most people pray the process, but few pray the ending. And this, for example, in John chapter 17, you know, here Jesus literally says in verses 1 to 4, he's talking to God, and he says, I have finished the work. He hadn't finished his work. He hadn't even gone to the cross. It's only John 17. He hasn't been whipped and beaten and hung and died and go to hell and bear the sin of the world, become sin. He hasn't done any of that stuff, and yet he says, I have finished the work. What? When Jesus prayed, communicated, spoke from his mouth, he did not speak as though it's let's hope and pray. He declared the end from the beginning. In verse 4 and 5, he says here that he was the glorified Christ, yet he wasn't yet. He was functioning as deity in a man's body. And when he was glorified was going to take place after the cross. He's declaring that it's done. He's declaring the end from the beginning. You know, in John 17, the same chapter, verses 8 and to 11, he says, I am no longer in the world. And people are kind of going, what are you talking about? I'm looking at you, Jesus. I am no longer in the world. But he was standing right there. He was declaring the end from the beginning. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to die. He was declaring, I am glorified. I have finished. This is who, and it is a done deal. See, things get done in the spirit realm before they're ever walked out in the physical realm. My future, your future, God's got a plan. He's already prepared a path. He's already prepared answers for every attack the enemy comes against you. We all think that for every temptation he's made a way is talking about being tempted by money, being tempted by sex, and that too. But he's literally declaring for the enemy to tempt you off of the promises of God, out of victorious living, into attitude craziness, that he's already prepared a path for you to walk and be victorious over it. Nobody else can walk your path. Nobody else can push you back on path. You make this decision as a prophet, a king, a priest, and a judge upon your life. So in Mark chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus is going to pray for a girl who's dead. She is dead. And it says here, Jesus says, she's sleeping. Now, this wasn't just some, Jesus didn't understand. He was just trying to comfort the parents. No, Jesus was aware of every word that came out of his mouth. He knew that his mouth determined life and death, that his tongue helped to articulate which words that came out, that justifying or the curses, like whatever you say. When he said to a tree, no one's eating from you anymore, that tree died from the roots up. And in 24 hours, this thing just was finished. Words that we speak. And so Jesus, it was fascinating to me to realize in John 17 that repeatedly Jesus was making declarations to God that hadn't happened yet, but he was talking as though it's a done deal. When you and I use faith, Mark 11 says that when we pray, you know, it says, who shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he saith. And it talks about prayer in the next verse and how that you've got to believe that it is a done deal. All of the promises of God have already been paid for, qualified in Christ, and it is yours. God has made a way for everything that is outside of his blessing, and he's made a way for you. What do we need to do? This process is started by you speaking God's word. If you do not speak the word of God and the promises of God, then your everyday talking is still determining and prophesying your future. You cannot turn off your prophetic mouth. You cannot turn off all of the prophesying that you are doing for your life. When you pray, oh Lord, thank you for the power and the blessing of God, and then you tell your friend, I don't think it's going to happen, but we're praying about it. I don't know if anything's going to change. I don't think my marriage is going to work. I sure hope my kids don't get pregnant. I don't know. As you begin to chatter, it's not that you can turn it off and on. Oh, I didn't put any faith in those words. No, no. Your words are justifying your life. Your words are condemning your life now, not in some throne room in the future. Your speaking is the authority that you've been given as a king. Your speaking is the predictive ability you've been given as a prophet. Your speaking is what you are doing as a judge, choosing and determining what is right and wrong for you. And most people would like to be their own judge, like Eve in the Garden of Eden. She was so tempted when she found out that she could make decisions. Well, of course she could. But the enemy had to make her doubt some of God's teaching. And if the enemy can make you doubt that some of God's teaching is not for your best, and that you will make your own decisions here for your pleasure or for whatever it is, you are a fool being tempted off of God's word. Speak his promises and declare that end result. Declare what you desire as a done deal in Christ. Now, that's not the way you speak in conversations to people. Because some people, they start doing all this double talk. I'm talking about speaking in a way that is believing from the very heart core that my future is secure, you know, etc. And so let's just move on here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, it says here that we have been given exceedingly great, precious promises, that through these promises you could live out the best life of God. You could live out the divine nature. Now, when he uses the word precious, think about this. The promises of God are more precious than diamonds and gold. Diamonds and gold can be spent and taken away, but the promises of God for blessing can never be taken from you. The promises of God are more precious than any kind of financial heap of wealth. Then when you look at, well, Leon, it would be a precious thing to have a cure for leukemia. So that, great, I totally agree, and I believe God that we're going to have that. But did you know that the promises of healing are more precious than the cures for specific diseases? As you can see, they keep saying that one day they're going to cure all disease, but new ones keep popping up. New diseases, new changes, things morph. And I'm not a doctor, but as I study like everyone else, we can see that, you know, 30 years ago, 35 years ago when I was training to be a paramedic, they told me that one day all of the hospital buildings will be used for something else because mankind and science will cure disease. And when we cure disease, it's going to be an amazing day. Well, if the time frame from then till now, there are more people sick with more of a variety of diseases. It is penetrating most families greater than it was back then, which might have been 1 in 5 for cancer, for example. Now, within families, it's 1 in 3. The stats are not getting better. Science is not going to cure this because the world is fallen and the kingdom of darkness, and Satan is the god of this world by default. And the people have given that to him. And so when we as children of light in the kingdom of God now, as citizens of this kingdom, we must push back against the darkness, against the sickness, against the poverty, against the depression, against everything that the dark side would push against the believers. It is up to you. Speak up. If you do not, in your prayer time, like Jesus, declare it's done, I walk in health and blessing. Declare that it's done, I walk in the wisdom of God and I hear his voice. Declare that it's done, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If you do not understand the promises of God, then you are going to be a sitting duck. And don't tell me, Leon, I just don't understand the Bible. Maybe I just come for the 30 minutes you teach once a week. Now, that doesn't make me feel good. That doesn't make me feel deep. No, it makes me realize I'm not doing my job, because you cannot make it off of my confession. My confession and my teaching of the word will help you understand who you are, the authority, the power of the cross, to rise up and you begin to speak. These precious promises are ours, and through the promises, we get to be a partaker of the divine life, the divine nature, the divine emotions, the divine bless. All that is in the promises has been given to us. So how do you acquire and get these promises to magnify, to rise up into your life? It is through the process of faith. You speak the promises. It gets planted in your heart. The word begins to grow in your heart rather than your mama's 53 fears and your dad's 27 lies and all the things that everybody in the world is dealing with, instead of your BS, your belief systems from your grandparents and your great-grandparents. You know, no, you're going to begin to get the belief systems of Father God, and that is the way you were created. The way to replace in your heart the belief systems of negativity and poverty and sickness and fear and anxiety and worry is to speak the incredible word of God that has been paid for, that he died on the cross to give you and I. If you're not speaking it over your life, I promise you, no one else's words have the power that your words have over you. Listen, mama, your husband can't get it for you. Listen, husband, your wife can't. One guy told me, yeah, I don't come, but I tell you, I got a praying wife. She goes to your church and she prays for me. The only thing she can do right now is get you saved in prayer, because it's your words that determine your life. You are a self-professing, a self-controlling prophet. You are the king over your life, your future, your results. You are the priest that should be spending time with Father God in that secret place. You are the judge making decisions over every decision that you make every day of your life. We must turn and recognize that it is Jesus. It is Jesus. They say today, I was working with some group about a television program that's going to be coming out in a while about PTSD. And what is the answer for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder? Now they're saying that not only is it showing up in soldiers, but now we can see it in one of three of our emergency response people. And that people who are not in the Army or in emergency response, like fire, paramedic, police, you know, emergency room doctors who just see horrific things, that even 1 in 5 to 1 in 7 of everyday average people are struggling with PTSD. Now, that's the world's definition. The Bible will call it a broken heart, or a heart that's not functioning properly. So you can't get relationships to work. You can't control your emotions. You can't control your health. You can't control anything in your world. And you can go, and they don't have answers. They just label problems. The Bible's got answers. And it declares very clearly to get up and understand, to protect, to speak God's word. God's word is more precious than a cure for leukemia. His word is more precious than a sleeping pill to put you to bed at night. It's more precious than having your own army to protect you. It's more precious than a happy pill that might make you smile, or alcohol to get you high, or your cup of wine to get you through your day. No, this, the promises of God, you must teach your children. And believe it or not, every word of your mouth and every action of your life is already mentoring your kids to be like you. That scares me. And so I go, God, help me to be a person who speaks the word of God. And as a closing thought, I got to remind you, make sure that the promises that you begin to declare over your lives first start with cross promises. What did Jesus do? Well, because of the cross, God, you know, is because of the cross, I'm a new creation. I am righteous as a gift. God's favor and strength are mine. I'm his favorite as compared to every other of his created beings, not people. I live in perpetual joy and peace. No condemnation works on me. I live in his presence as a child. I'm guided by his voice. All of these promises that Jesus secured for you need to be spoken out of your mouth so they begin to function in your life. And then look at the other promises, promises about healing, and that no weapon formed against you will prosper. He's a God that heals all diseases. He's one that renews your youth like the eagles. Come on, ladies, go ahead and read all the magazines, get whatever nips and tucks you want. But the Bible says there's a promise that says he will renew your youth like the eagle. You don't go to your deathbed crippled and dying and sick. We go to our deathbed, meaning when it's time to go to be with Jesus, we would just say, thank you, Lord, and your breath goes away. God never designed your body as a believer to be just twisted and sick and pain-filled and unable to function. That's a lie from the enemy. So let's make a decision. What are you speaking? What is your conversation? What are the things you say when you mutter your anger? What are the things you say when you scream at the wall? What are the things you say when you get to express your unrenewed mind to your best friend and tell them how you really feel? Those words are just as powerful as the words you utter in prayer, because it is your speaking, it is your conversation, it is every word that comes out of your mouth that is determining your life. You are the king of your life. You are the high priest of your life. You are the judge. You are the priest, the prophet. Jesus is the King of Kings, and Jesus is our high priest before the Father. But recognize the authority and the power that has been given to you. And this process starts with control your mouth. When you're having a negative, lousy day, make a decision, just shut up. God had to shut up Zechariah so it didn't cause the life of his own son in the womb. God had to shut up all of Israel walking around Jericho because they felt stupid. They felt funny. It wasn't the way you did warfare. They were being mocked and jeered from the very walls of Jericho, walking around being quiet. Why did he want them to be quiet? Because he didn't want their negative mouth destroying the miracle that he wanted to bring forth. If in the Old Testament it was that important, imagine your mouth in the New Testament. James says you can deceive your own heart. The word says your words are justifying. Speak up. So my challenge to you from this message today, begin to pray the promises of God as a done deal. You don't have to qualify for them. Jesus qualified you for them. Declare them as mine. Read the promise and just say, this is mine in Jesus' name. If you say, well, I don't understand. Well, then just read the promise the way it's written in the word and stop and say, this promise is mine because of Jesus. And declare this every day. Develop this planting and reaping system of words. And maybe then you're going to say, well, you will. You will see this stunning change take place on the inside of you in your heart. And all of a sudden, the angelic host, who the Bible says obey the voice of his word, you're going to see them function. Your mind is going to be at peace and joy. You're going to see incredible changes when you understand 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Father, I pray right now that you would touch every person that is listening to me. I pray right now that, Father, they'd make a decision. Just start speaking the promises of God. I pray that here at Springs, that you'd raise this church up to influence a nation. We claim it for Christ. To touch this world, Father, in every possible way. I pray that you'd cause every individual person and their families and careers, their neighborhoods, to begin to recognize, begin to walk in the authority and the power that Jesus has invested in them. I pray this, that Father, every other religious mouth that mocks it or comes against it, they would place it aside as they fulfill the call of God on their life. And Father, I pray for those who are listening right now that don't know you. If you are listening to my message and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. It's very simple but profound. It's very simple but powerful. Your words must be, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I choose you. Just say those words. I choose you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I'm following you for the rest of my days. And now let us know that you've made the decision. You've prayed that prayer, and we'll help you with incredible resources and plugging in here to find out who you are according to Jesus, not religion. The wiped out, washed out, pathetic, negative, thing that religion does to followers of Christ is awful. No wonder Jesus had his most brutal words for religious people who would not follow the instructions of his word, but they went off. And so let's follow him. So contact us. We'd love to be able to help you out. We're so excited that, you know, you're watching this program. Tell your friends about it to come watch Drive-In Church or come attend Drive-In Church. And let's continue to do great things for God. God bless you. Sal and I love you. Join us in the coffee shops this week, and we'll see you there.